Stay tuned now for Spotlight Indianapolis with your host, Mike Thomas.
Good morning. Welcome to Spotlight Indianapolis. I am Mike Thomas, and I'm your host this week. The first NICE grant winners were announced a month ago. What is a NICE grant? Stay tuned, and our guest this week will share all the information with us. Jeb Banner's company, Indianapolis-based small box culture-powered marketing, pioneered NICE grants. He joins me this morning to talk about NICE grants in particular and corporate social responsibility issues in general. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for being here. Appreciate it very much. Tell me about the NICE grants program. I find this incredibly fascinating and like to share it with our listeners.
Yeah, it was something that my team came up with. They had a stretch goal to hit a billable mark back in October, and they did it. And the reward was they got $5,000 to do whatever they wanted with. And so when it came time to figure that out, I said, you want to throw a party? You know, we even talked about buying billboards for pretend company and making a website for, you know, just something funny. And they said, well, how can we do something in the community that have a real impact? And we've done things, you know, for nonprofits. And we thought, how do we just get directly to the people that actually have cool ideas? And so it evolved into, over the course of a lunch conversation with the whole team, why don't we create five $1,000 grants with this money and call them the NICE grants, because it's sort of something we say around the office that you NICE someone. It came from this joke around Smirnoff Ice. People would like ice someone. They'd like put a Smirnoff Ice on their desk, and then they'd have to drink the Smirnoff Ice, which is a horrible beverage. So sorry if they're a sponsor. But anyway, so they would start nicing people with, well, how do we nice the community? And so that evolved into the NICE grants, and the team really ran with that, and we put it out there, and we were surprised by how well it was received. And it's been fantastic to see the people that respond to it, and now the projects are underway, and we're tracking them as they go.
So in the middle of all of this, Angie's List jumped in.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
Well, I guess Angie heard about it somehow, probably through the IBJ, because the IBJ picked it up. And Angie said, you know, hey, why haven't we thought of this? And they reached out to us. We've done a lot of work with Angie's List, so we had some good connections with them already. And so they came to us and said, what if we doubled it, made it 10,000? This is a day before the deadline. So we said, all right, but we need to extend it a week. So we extended it a week. And then we were able to do 10 $1,000 grants. And we had, I think it was around 200 applicants. And there was a lot of good ones. It was hard to sort through. But we put together a little committee and figured it out.
What particularly were you looking for? And, you know, out of what kind of ideas came in?
Well, we really wanted to see how much bang for the buck could we get. You know, we wanted to get behind projects where $1,000 would really make an impact. Not just like another $1,000 in a $10,000 raise, right? We didn't want to just be a drop in the bucket. We wanted to be a pivotal piece in getting something done. Because, you know, whether it's one company relocating to Indianapolis or somebody that's becoming a beekeeper or building an art labyrinth, these are cool things that I think will benefit the city. So what kind of impact can we have for that money? And we wanted to inspire other people in the community, other businesses. And I think we have. We've seen that with Formstack's Build Indy $5,000 challenge they did recently, to do the same thing and say, how can we take this marketing money or bonus money or whatever? In this case, the team's the one that decided to do it. But, you know, how can the leadership of these organizations take the money that would normally would spend on marketing and put it to use in a different way, on giving back to their community? The result is you do get a lot of nice attention for it, but that wasn't why we did it. It was just a sort of a byproduct, you know.
So what kinds of ideas did you get, and then how did you make the decision as to who ultimately received the grants?
We got a lot of it's interesting. We got a lot of people that wanted to make films or documentaries. And we realized that in the future, we might want to pool them into a group and then fund equipment that they could rent out. So it was kind of like,
oh, okay.
We realized that wasn't ready. We weren't ready for that with this time. But there's a need in this city for a good audio visual rental sort of depot of sorts, where they can come take out equipment, bring it back, and without having to pay a lot of money, because these groups don't have a lot of money. We got some crazy ideas. There was the one crazy idea that I really liked that we didn't fund was getting I think gorillas to write poetry with iPads. And it was so out there that it was like, and the person behind it seemed to be pretty legit. And that was a divisive one. Like, some people thought it was awesome, and some people thought it wasn't, you know. So it was all over the spectrum. People starting businesses, at least three or four people wanted to start a record label, you know, and, boy, it was a wide spectrum of different things. A lot of art projects, and a lot of nonprofits that just wanted to kind of like further something they were doing, which, you know, I think in the future will be more specific, that we really want this to be something new that people are starting, not just furthering something that's already going.
So it sounds like you learned a lot in the process.
Yeah. Yeah. We would be more specific in the future. I think that would be helpful for the applicants, but you know, I think that we gave everybody a good shot and we reviewed every single one. So.
And so this is $1,000 grant. So it's not a loan. It's a grant.
It's cash. I mean, they show up and they have to fill out a little, I think, whatever, W-9 or whatever, you know, just some sort of document that says that they received it. And I can't remember, our attorneys helped us get it straight. And Angie's List obviously made sure that was done right as well. And then they get a check. And at that point, there's no obligation to us whatsoever or to Angie's List. And they go out into the world and they go do their thing. And then we're following them. So we're going to go, you know, record their story, take pictures, video. It's content for us, you know. So,
right.
You know, and we hope it's also promotion for them so that they can have other people come and help them with their little cause, you know.
Because I've read, I think you said that, I mean, you're at least expecting to see in the next couple months,
yeah,
you know, the effect of this maiden voyage.
Absolutely. I mean, we have Casey Bradley who does our PR and community outreach. He's connecting with all of them, is visiting with them. You know, we worked with People for Urban Progress to put some of those Bush Stadium seats into new stops. That's something where we did see an existing project we thought would be fun to expand because there was a lot of bang for the buck there, you know?
Okay.
He's just going around and talking with organizations like PUP and saying, hey, how are you spending this money? What are you doing? And bringing that content back for us to share online. But yeah, we're just kind of following them around. And there are, a lot of them are already underway. They're going with stuff, and
so give me some examples of who won. And
there was a Irvington mural project. So this group wanted to do this really neat mural that was going to involve the community and have different phases to it, if I recall, of different people coming and adding to it over time. You know, there's a full list. I think you probably have seen. There's a list online, a list on our website at smallboxweb.com. There's a music festival down Fountain Square called the Cataracts that, in order to keep going, needs to get into a more permanent venue instead of just holding it in houses on the street. It's basically a gigantic house party. But it's becoming a nationally known event. We want to make sure it doesn't die. You know, that's something where there was some events like that, some things like that, where we came in and tried to continue what was going so that it wouldn't go out. Steel and fabric material fabrication company that is looking to relocate here from Muncie does fantastic work. Trying to think, you know, there's 10 of them, so there's not, you know, there's not that many, but yeah.
So Angie's List, how are you evaluating going forward? Where does this go from here, and have other companies, you know, by virtue of all the publicity that's happened around this particular Nice Grants project, you know, where is the momentum going?
Well, I think that it has inspired other people, and I think that you know, we met with Formstack today, who's doing this $5,000 Build Indie Challenge, where they're having people apply with different ideas on how they can improve the city. There's a you know, formstack.com/buildindy has a lot of info on that. And I think that we either inspired that or probably encouraged that a little bit with this, you know, from what they say at least. And we're all for it. Whenever we come up with these ideas as an organization, whether it's like 24-hour web project where we do a website for a nonprofit in 24 hours, or factory week where we take a week off to work on our own projects twice a year, or ThinkKit where we send out a blog prompt every day the whole month of December to reflect on the year. We want people to take these ideas and steal them and run with them. They're not meant to be proprietary. They're meant to be improvised on. So we're not trying to monopolize, disruptive philanthropy, if you want to call it that.
You're listening to Spotlight Indianapolis. This week we are shining the spotlight on NICE grants and other community building ideas with Jeb Banner. Can you tell me, you write a lot on your blog and read a lot, very interesting. You have a lot of or a great sense of social responsibility that seems to, you know, partner with your business and ways to make the community better. And I was wondering if you could elaborate a little bit about how you see, you know, that intersection of what you're trying to accomplish with.
Yeah. You know, I sometimes joke that I run my business like a nonprofit, in the sense that I'm always thinking about what is our mission, you know, and our mission is to evolve organizations. And so when we work with a client, we're there to help them grow, get healthy, learn and speak in their voice. That's what marketing really is. So, you know, we also then look at our community. We think about how can we make this a place where talented, interesting people want to come live, work, and play, right? And those are the people we want to work with. And we want Indianapolis to be on the same short list as Austin, San Francisco, New York, Seattle, for anybody in this country that's considering relocating after college. And so we think a lot about how do we help create that environment. And so that's why we got involved in co-founding the Speakeasy, you know, because
I'm just going to segue right into that,
right?
Because that's the definition thereof.
Right. And you know, when Christian and Christian Anderson and myself and Dave Castor and Eric Tobias and, you know, basically all these, Andy Clark, I mean, a bunch of guys got together. It was just like, we need a space for the tech community. We need a gathering space. And I think that, and now where I'm talking about that on the music side, we need a space for the music community. And we're looking at Fountain Square and Music Council and things like that.
To do something similar on?
Maybe. I mean, by space, it's meaning like a voice as much as anything. We need, you know, yes, maybe physical space. We're exploring that, but it's really early. I don't want to misspeak, but we just need to make sure we're making space for the music community, not just the arts community. The arts community is well represented in this town, and it's great, but it's typically more of a classical arts than what you'd consider to be modern music or even modern art. You know, we want to make sure those entities, institutions, individuals are represented, because that's what 20 and 30 somethings care about. They care about cool clubs, good bands, nice restaurants, good cultural centers.
And you look at the place to gather.
Yeah, if you look at the great work that CICF and IDI, you know, Tamara Zahn and Brian Payne, the work they've done with the cultural districts, and really building up those areas and making them destinations, we really feel like we have to take that foundation and continue to build on it. And that's why we're so heavily invested in Broad Ripple. We feel like that should be our little Silicon Valley in a way, like for Indiana. Like that's the tech hub, you know. Not that there can't be tech all over the city, but the Speakeasy located in South Broad Ripple just seemed to make a lot of sense.